morning, you're listening to the Space Show with Andrew Rennie. I don't know how many of you have met an astronaut, quite a few of you probably. And one of the things is about astronauts, and I found this with each and every one of them, is that they're such friendly people that you feel you're friends with them straight away. And so when you learn that one of them has died, it's quite a shock. It's just like a friend is gone. In 2010 April, I went to the Kennedy Space Center to see the launch into space of the space shuttle Discovery. Its mission called STS-131, and the commander of that mission was Alan Poindexter. Now, Alan was unfortunately killed at the weekend. Now, he's a two-time space shuttle astronaut, and he died after a personal watercraft accident in Pensacola in Florida. Now, Poindexter was 50 years old, and he was riding a wave runner with his two sons in Little Sabine Bay at Pensacola Beach on Sunday, American time. That's Monday, our time, when the accident occurred. And Poindexter and his 22-year-old son Samuel apparently were riding on one wave runner, and his older son, a 26-year-old Zachary, was on another. And according to a spokesman for the Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission, Stan Kirkland, they stopped, and apparently Zachary did not see them stop. He struck the right stern of their personal watercraft. His watercraft went up and apparently struck Captain Poindexter in the back. Now, both Captain Poindexter and Samuel were ejected. The former astronaut was pulled from the water and taken to the beach where friends attempted to revive him. He was flown by helicopter to Baptist Hospital where he died from his injuries. Now, Poindexter's sons were not injured. Now, all three men were wearing life jackets as required by United States and Florida law. Now, Kirkland said, it's technically still under investigation until our report is completed. But he added that investigators were satisfied it was an accident and that they considered it a terrible tragedy. Now, Poindexter is the son of former United States National Security Advisor John Poindexter, who served in the Reagan administration. Now, Poindexter, who went by the name of Dex, made two space flights during his career with NASA. In February 2008, he was the pilot aboard the space shuttle Atlantis on a mission to deliver the European Space Agency's Columbus Laboratory module to the International Space Station. Poindexter returned to space in April 2010 as commander of the shuttle Discovery. This is the mission that I saw being launched when I was in Florida. And I saw the commander come out of the astronaut building where they put on their spacesuits, and that famous walk where you see them come out, give a wave, and then hop in a van. And that's when I saw him. I was only just about 2 meters away from him and the other crew members of that flight as they went past. And if you go to the Southern FM website, that's www.southernfm.com.au/space, then look for the Florida Diary. You'll find a page there where there's some animations of that walkout that the astronauts did. That's using photographs that I took when I was there. So he made that flight on April 2010, and I was at the landing site 2 weeks later when the craft landed back at the shuttle landing facility at the Kennedy Space Center. Now, Poindexter, or Dex as his friends called him, was captain in the United States Navy, and he left NASA in December of 2010 to become dean of students at the Naval Postgraduate School in Monterey, California. He earned a Master of Science degree in Aeronautical Engineering from the school in 1995. Poindexter was born in 1991 in Pasadena, California, but considered Rockville, Maryland to be his hometown. He earned a Bachelor of Aerospace Engineering degree from Georgia Institute of Technology and then was commissioned into the Navy. Poindexter flew combat missions in Iraq during Operation Desert Storm and Operation Southern Watch, and then became a test pilot. He logged more than 4,000 hours flying time in more than 30 types of aircraft. He was selected to join NASA's Astronaut Corps in June of 1998. He leaves a wife, Lisa, and she's from Gulf Breeze in Florida, near where the accident occurred. But at the time of this accident, they were living in California. Now, I have here some of the audio that relates to STS-131, and you'll hear Poindexter and the rest of his crew speaking here, and these are some of the things that I gathered when I was over in the United States. Although this first item we're going to have actually begins at a crew news conference, which was held in Houston on March 9. That's several weeks before I went to the United States. So our first item here, we have a news conference which was held at the Johnson Space Center in Houston on, I said, March 9 of 2010. And in that, he will introduce, you'll first hear a NASA person opening the conference, and then you'll hear Poindexter's statement to the crew, and he'll introduce the crew, and we'll meet some of the other crew members as well.
Good afternoon. Thank you for joining us for today's crew news conference with the STS-131 crew. We'll start with introductions and then take questions from media representatives. We'll start with Commander Alan Poindexter. Alan is a captain in the U.S. Navy. He was born in Pasadena, California, and considers Rockville, Maryland his hometown. He holds degrees from the Georgia Institute of Technology and the Naval Postgraduate School. He's made two deployments to the Arabian Gulf during Operations Desert Storm and Southern Watch, and has accumulated more than 3,500 hours in more than 30 types of aircraft. Alan was selected by NASA in June of 1998 and completed his first spaceflight mission as pilot on the STS-122 mission, acquiring more than 300 hours in space. Alan is assigned to command the crew of STS-131. We'll now let him introduce his crew. Alan.
Thanks, Nicole. Good afternoon. We're really happy to be here today, and we're glad to talk to you about STS-131, ISS Mission 19A. The crew's been very busy training, and we finished our terminal countdown demonstration test last week down at the Kennedy Space Center. We have a few more weeks of training to finish up, and we'll be ready for launch. We'd like to spend some time with you today, and we'll tell you a little bit about ourselves, and then we'll take your questions and answers for the remainder of the press conference. The pilot of the mission is Colonel Jim Dutton. Jim came to us in 2004. Jim's an Air Force test pilot, graduated from the United States Air Force Academy, and just a great guy, and we're really happy to have him on the crew. This will be his first space flight. Sitting next to Jim is Rick Mastracchio. This is Rick's third space flight. Rick is the Mission Specialist 1. He'll be on the flight deck for ASSET, and he hails from Waterbury, Connecticut. Rick's our lead spacewalker, and I'm just real happy to have him with us on the crew, and we're really looking forward to taking advantage of his experience level. Sitting next to Rick is Dottie Metcalf-Lindenberger. Dottie also came to the Astronaut Corps in 2004. Dottie hails from Fort Collins, Colorado, and she'll be Mission Specialist 2, the flight engineer on the flight, and will also work with Rick and Clay on the EVAs. Next to Dottie is Mission Specialist 3, Stephanie Wilson. This will be Stephanie's third flight on Discovery, and she's just a rock on the crew, and I'm really happy to have her with us, and really looking forward to working with her in space. Next to Stephanie is MS-4, Naoko Yamazaki, from the Japanese Exploration Aerospace and Exploration Agency. And this is also Naoko's first flight in space. So we've got three first-time flyers from the 2004 class. And next to Naoko is space veteran Clay Anderson. This is Clay's third shuttle crew, and Clay also spent 6 months on the International Space Station. And he's a real experienced guy, and just a joy to have on the crew. And he's going to do the spacewalks with Rick Mastracchio. I'm going to let the crew tell you a little bit about themselves and what they're going to do on the flight, and then we'll take your questions. Thanks very much. Jim?
Jim Dutton. I'll be the PLT on the mission, and my primary role is backing up decks for the launch and landing and also for the rendezvous, and looking forward to getting to fly the fly around of the station. And I'll also be working to suit up Rick and Clay for their EVAs and be working robotics, both the shuttle arm with Dottie and Naoko, and working with Steph on the station arm during the EVAs.
My primary responsibility, like Dex says, will be the three EVAs, and I'll also be helping out during ascent on the flight deck.
And I'm Dottie Metcalf-Lindenberger, and like Dex said, I'll be on the flight deck for ascent entry, and then I'll be doing a lot of transfer on the mission, as well as working the shuttle robotic arm, and I'll be the IVA, or the intravehicular crew member, for the three spacewalks.
Hi, I'm Stephanie Wilson. I'll be primarily involved with robotics for the space station arm. Also, we'll be working to help to transform our rocketing vehicle into an orbiting vehicle and back into an entry vehicle. And also, I'll be involved with the rendezvous team.
I'm Naoko Yamazaki, and I'm involved in the robotics operations, space shuttle robotic arm for the inspection of the space shuttle tiles for any damages that may have occurred during the ascent. Also, the space station's robotic arm to burst and unburst the MPLM, multi-purpose logistics module, Leonardo, together with Stephanie Wilson. And also, I am the load master of the supply items and the return items, with help of Stephanie and also with help of other crew members.
Clay Anderson, MS-5, the second spacewalker of the crew, and the other thing that I'll be focusing on is once the MPLM is berthed to the International Space Station, I get the opportunity to open her up and go inside for the first time.
All right, thank you. With that, we will now take questions here from the... All right, Eric.
Eric Berger with the Houston Chronicle. I'll throw this up for anyone who wants to pick it up, but I'm just hoping someone can talk about a little bit what it's like to move and unpack the MPLM on orbit and put everything away on board the station. Most people have a sense of what it's like to move a family member or, you know, empty out a garage. Is it like that? Is it a lot more tricky? Just sort of give me a sense of what that's like.
That's a good question, Eric. I'll talk a little bit about our primary mission objective, and that is the to install and then unpack and then reload the Leonardo MPLM. We've got a tremendous amount of work to do, somewhere around 100 hours of transfer time devoted to unpacking and then repacking the MPLM. It's packed with a system of racks and holders, so to speak, with large bags. Inside those, we have a very detailed plan of which items move in the location on the space station of which they'll be installed or stowed. That is all put together by a very, very talented group of folks here on the ground that we've been working really closely with for the last 9 months to a year. And they've got very, very tight choreography set up for which items will move on which day and in the order in which they'll move. As you can imagine, it's a very small space, and there's a lot of equipment inside. And so we need to worry about which items have to come out first and when they'll have a location available to them when we get them to the space station. Naoko and Stephanie have been working closely with that group for the last year, and I'll let them answer in their words a little bit about how that choreography is going to flow. Naoko, why don't you start off?
Okay, yes. Will you bring more than 6 tons of supplies in the MPLM Leonardo to the International Space Station? And as Dex mentioned, it takes more than 100 hours. So the job of load masters is like orchestrating the move items into a new house. Some items need to be treated in a certain ways, like they are fragile, they have to be treated in certain ways, and others need to be transferred in a certain order. So we have to understand all the constraints so that we can transfer these items in good configuration and in order. So we learn a lot about each hardware. We visited Kennedy Space Center to see the real hardware, and also we've been working closely to the assembly and checkout officer, Jeremy Owen, to come up with a good plan of the transfer. So I believe it will go well with all the help of the crew members and the ground team. Stephanie, could you add again?
Yeah, sure. And Dex and Naoko summarized it very well. It is like moving a house, so you do have to do things in order. We have some large experiments for the International Space Station, a minus 80-degree laboratory freezer. We have a crew quarters assembly to put on the space station. So we have lots of new equipment to bring up to the space station and also some experiments that will no longer be in use to return home.
All right.
Here. Hi, this is Kevin Bays with Tokyo Broadcasting. And I was wondering if you could each briefly describe how your family members or spouses feel about you going into space.
Thank you. Sure, that's fair enough. Kevin, it's a little bit of a personal question, but I can tell you that from my own personal experience as a naval officer, I was deployed a number of times, and this is a fairly short deployment, and so my family's looking forward to it not being gone too long. It's a little bit stressful, but the crew is very professionally trained. We've got a group of folks that have devoted to their last year. They're here in the room with you today, and they've poured everything they can into making sure that we're as well prepared as we can be for the mission. And that's comforting to the families, I think.
My wife is very sweet. She I think every time we hit a milestone in the process of getting ready, she takes a big deep breath, and usually the breath is taken away from her. This happened recently when Discovery showed up at the launch pad. She emailed me and said that, you know, wow, another big step. But at the same time, she's been just my best friend and just a tremendous advocate through this whole process of hoping to become an astronaut, becoming one, and then getting to fly in space. So she's very excited, and so is my whole family.
Yeah, my wife has been through this three times now, and of course it's still very exciting, and I know my wife and kids are very proud of the space program and what we do. But I know on the big day they get a little nervous about it, but everything always works out.
And my husband, Jason, has been very supportive through moving from Washington State down to Texas and then finding a new job here. I think he laughs at our acronyms, but he enjoys hearing all about the ride and what we're doing. And sometimes he teases me that he's a little bit jealous, but that's what I'm glad about. TVs and the KU band, because he'll get to follow along. And our daughter's really young, and so she doesn't really know what this means. And so hopefully, I hope that she'll get to look back and see the experience and enjoy it.
My family is also very excited and has been very supportive. They travel from all over the U.S. to come to Florida to see the launch. And it's nice that during the mission, we have the opportunity to make phone calls or to send email. So that it helps us to stay in touch during the mission. But they're very excited and look forward to the mission.
Yeah, I would not have done this without my parents, my husband Taichi, and my daughter Yuki. It's again a teamwork among the family. When I started training here in 2004, my husband Taichi, he was working as a flight controller of the Japanese experiment module, but he quit his job and moved here to support my family. So I really appreciate that, and so we are looking forward to a great mission.
I met my wife here at the Johnson Space Center, so she's worked here for some 15 plus years as well as me. I've only had one job here at the Space Center since I left college, so we're very pretty knowledgeable about what goes on, and we've seen it all here, and we have done it as a family. 5 months in space and training for 3.5 years to go on the International Space Station was a huge family endeavor. And right now my daughter, she thinks it's still pretty cool. She's young enough where it makes her really popular at school. And then my son, he's kind of been there, done that. But I think they're on the day of launch, there'll be plenty of anxiety but lots of good wishes and good thoughts and prayers as we go uphill. So we're very prepared for this, I think, as a family.
And for Commander Poindexter, your mission to the station is coming right on the heels of another Soyuz crew's arrival, and it seems like it's going to be pretty busy when you're up there. I'm just wondering what you and the station commander have discussed about having maybe some enough time for rest during your busy flight, as well as maybe keeping everyone focused and on task. Thanks.
Good question, Tark. And we knew that there was a possibility all along that we would have the additional crew members on space station. And it actually really helps us out since Alexander and Michael and Tracy will be there, and they'll arrive a day or two before we do. It'll help alleviate some of our timeline problems that we had with our transfer time that we talked about earlier. But it's also just a really good opportunity to have 13 people in space simultaneously. Oleg and I talked in detail before they went back to Russia and before they launched back in December. And we talked about timelines and crew tasks and how we would split that all up. As you know, the space station or the space shuttle flights, when we're docked, our mission timeline is very compressed. It's more like a sprint. Whereas the long duration guys on station for a long time, it's more of a marathon. So it's really difficult for them. We'll try to not disturb their home too much, but they do have a big crowd showing up. And Clay can tell you, it's just like when family shows up, you're really glad they show up, and you're also really glad when they leave.
This is James Dean from Florida Today with a few questions. First, for Captain Poindexter or whomever would care to share any thoughts, if the president's new plan for the agency is approved, future crews could be flying on commercially owned and operated vehicles. And I'm just wondering what your kind of preliminary reaction is to that option, something that would be a big change for the agency, including if you're comfortable that eventually it'll be a safe option for future astronaut crews.
That's a good question, James. The crew here has been focused really hard on training, and as you know, we've been traveling a lot and working really hard at getting ready for our mission. So our preliminary focus is on STS-131 and doing our jobs for the agency. We're not policymakers, we're just really proud and excited to fly on one of the last space shuttle missions. Our office and our directorate is working very closely with headquarters on future plans. When we get back from this space flight and finish our post flight, I hope that some of us will have the opportunity to contribute to some of those plans and the way forward. But for now, we're just real excited about STS-131, and we're looking forward to launch here on April 5th and getting to the space station and getting the job done that we've been trained to do for the last year.
Bill Harwood again for the commander. This is a real softball question, but Donnie doesn't have the normal bio that you'd expect from an MS-2. And I'm just wanting you to tell me a little bit about her experience and training and how you guys get along on the flight deck.
Bill, it is a good question. I can tell you, and this is honestly the truth, we get along really, really well as a crew. The mix of personalities and skills on this crew is just tremendous. And we kid each other a lot, and we have a great time in training, and it's always a great experience. Dottie was involved along with Jim and doing my commander upgrade training. It's been, almost a year and a half, coming up on 2 years ago. We pick a small crew for that as well, and we got to do a number of simulations. We just had a tremendous time. And when I asked Dottie to be the MS-2, the flight engineer, we knew it was a big endeavor for her. And we talked a long time about the amount of work required to be prepared for that job. She's just done tremendous in training and just tremendously well. We do have a great mentor on the flight deck with us, and we all count on Rick Mastracchio, who's very, very experienced and was a mission specialist too on his other two space flights. Rick is sitting next to Dottie in the back behind Jim, and it's great having Rick there to help me, to help Jim, and to help Dottie. And he's been a mentor to all of us, and he's really helped bring the crew together and helped us train. We're just all doing really good work, and we're real happy to fly with each other.
Hi, Hi, I'm Sitobi Imai from Niko Niko Doga. I heard that there is a very limited amount of stuff, that personal belongings that you can bring over to this space. If you can tell us right now some stuff that you want to bring it over to this space, like some personal belongings.
Yeah, thanks for the question. We each have a small kit that we can take on orbit, and we can fly items for organizations and for close friends. And it's a small kit, and I'm taking some things for my schools that I went to as a student in both high school and in college and my graduate school as well.
And that was the voice of Alan Poindexter, he was an astronaut then. He was speaking in 2010, March 9, just before the STS-131 mission that I saw being launched into space and I later saw landing. And unfortunately, the sad news is he died at the weekend in a...